بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. May Allah salah and salam be upon the Prophet Muhammad, the believers of his family, and the noble companions, and those who follow on their path until the day of resurrection. Alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Allah, who subhanahu wa ta'ala granted the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the greatest message, and that is the message of Islam. And he granted him the best of creation after the prophets and messengers to carry on this message to believe in it, to propagate it, and to hold firm to it. These are his companions. And all praise to Allah Azza wa Jal, the one who granted the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the best of women to be his wife. And all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who described the wives of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam as the mothers of the believers, giving them this great honor and status. From the mothers of the believers is Aisha, Umm al-Mu'mineen. May Allah be pleased with her and her father. Aisha, whom the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam described in the authentic hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, فضل عائشة على النساء كفضل الثريد على سائر الطعام. The superiority of Aisha over other women is like the superiority of thareed to other meals. And the thareed is a meal made of meat and bread, considered to be the best. Then, and this is in Sahih al-Bukhari, volume 5, hadith number 114. Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, described her marriage to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. She said in the hadith narrated in Sahih al-Bukhari in volume 5, hadith 234, تزوجني النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنا بنت ست سنين. My marriage or wedding contract with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was written when I was a girl of 6 years. فقدمنا المدينة فنزلنا في بني الحارث بن الخزرج. We came to المدينة
and we dismounted at the place of Bani al-Harith bin al-Khazraj. فَوَعِكْتُ فَتَمَزَّقَ شَعْرِي فَوَفَى جُمَيْمَةِ. Then I got ill and my hair fell down. Then on or later my hair grew again, and my mother Ummu Ruman came to me while I was playing in a swing with some of my girlfriends. وإني لفي أرجوجة ومعي صواحب لي فصرخت بي فأتيتها. She called me and I went to her. لا أدري ما تريد ما أدري لا أدري ما تريد بي. فأخذت بيدي حتى أوقفتني على باب الدار. She called me and I went to her, not knowing what she wanted to do to me. She caught me by the hand and made me stand at the door of the house. وَإِنِّي لَأَنْهَجُ حَتَّى سَكَنَ بَعْضُ نَفَسِي. I was breathless then, and when my breathing became all right, she took some water and rubbed my face and head with it. ثُمَّ أَخَذَتْ شَيْئًا مِّن مَاءٍ فَمَسَحَتْ بِهِ وَجْهِي وَرَأْسِي ثُمَّ أَدْخَلَتْنِي الدَّارَ. Then she took me into the house. فَإِذَا نِسْوَةٌ مِّنَ الْأَنصَارِ فِي الْبَيْتِ. Then she took me into the house, and therein the house I saw some Ansari woman from the Ansar, who said, عَلَى الْخَيْرِ وَالْبَرَكَةِ. Best wishes and Allah's blessings and a good luck. فإذا نسوة من الأنصار في البيت فقلنا على الخير والبركة وعلى خير طائر فأسلمتني إليهن فأصلحن من شأني فلم يرعني إلا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ضحى فأسلمني إليه وأنا يومئذ بنت 9 سنين. Then she, meaning my mother, entrusted me to them and they prepared me for the marriage. Unexpectedly, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam came to me in the forenoon, and my mother handed me over to him, and at that time I was a girl of 9 years of age. Aisha, Ummul Mu'mineen. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Aisha once, أُرِيتُكِ فِي الْمَنَامِ مَرَّتَيْنِ أَرَى أَنَّكِ فِي سَرِقَةٍ مِّنْ حَرِيرٍ وَيُقَالُ هَذِهِ امْرَأَتُكِ فَأَكْشِفْ عَنْهَا فَإِذَا هِيَ أَنْتِ فَأَقُولُ إِنْ يَكُ هَذَا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ يُمْضِهِ. Aisha said that the Prophet ﷺ said to her, you have been shown to me twice in my dream. I saw you pictured on a piece of silk, and someone said to me, this is your wife. When I uncovered the picture, I saw that it was yours. I said, if this is from Allah, it will be accomplished, it will be done. Aisha, the daughter of Abi Bakr al-Siddiq, her mother is Umm Ruman, the daughter of Amir bin Umayr al-Kunaniyah. Aisha, nicknamed Umm Abdullah, the Prophet ﷺ gave her this nick. And she once asked the Prophet ﷺ, all my girlfriends have kuna nicknames. So he told her,
take that of your son, meaning the son of her daughter, of her sister, the son of her sister. Abdullah ibn Zubayr, may Allah be pleased with him. So she took that nickname, and as to the saying that she gave birth to Abdullah from the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and he died while an infant, this is incorrect. Aisha, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam did not marry a virgin except her. Aisha, she was given to choose, as the rest of the wives of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, to choose between Allah Azza wa Jalla and His Messenger and the life of this world. And this came in Sahih al-Bukhari. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded His Messenger to give His wives the choice, this hadith, Aisha, the wife of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, said, when Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasalam was ordered to give option to his wives, he started with me, saying, إني ذاكر لك أمرا فلا عليك أن لا تعجلي حتى تستأمري أبويك. I am going to mention to you something, but you shall not hasten to give your reply unless you consult your parents. And he knew, she said, that my parents would not order me to leave him. قالت ثم قال, she said that then he, the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, said, إن الله جل ثناؤه قال, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, magnificent is His praise. قال يا أيها النبي قل لأزواجك إن كنتن تردن الحياة الدنيا وزينتها إلى أجر عظيم. O Prophet, say to your wives, if you desire the life of this world and its glitter, until the verse ends with a great reward. So this is the option. I said, then why I consult my parents? فإني أريد الله ورسوله والدار الآخرة. Verily I seek Allah, His Messenger, and the home of the hereafter. Then all the other wives of the Prophet ﷺ did the same as I did. The verses in completion are, say to your wives, O Prophet, if you desire the life of this world and its glitter, then come and I'll make you a provision for you. I will make a provision for you and set you free in a handsome manner, divorce. But if you desire Allah and His Messenger and the home of the hereafter, then verily Allah has prepared for the believers amongst you an enormous reward. Aisha replied, verily I seek Allah, His Messenger and the home of the hereafter. Aisha is a blessing. In the hadith where she narrated in Sahih al-Bukhari in volume 5, 117, she said that she borrowed a necklace from Asma and it was lost. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam sent some of his companions to look for it
During their journey, the time of prayer was due, and they prayed without ablution. When they returned to the Prophet ﷺ, they complained about it. So the divine verse of tayammum, of dry ablution, was revealed. So Aisha was a blessing. Usayd ibn Hudayr said to Aisha then, Jazakillahu khayra, may Allah reward you handsomely. فَوَاللَّهِ مَا نَزَلَ بِكِ أَمْرٌ قَطٌ إِلَّا جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَكِ مِنْهُ مَخْرَجًا وَجَعَلَ لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ فِيهِ بَرَكَةً. He told her, may Allah reward you handsomely. By Allah, whenever you have a difficulty, Allah relieved you of it and brought with it a blessing for the Muslims. So, Ayatul Tayammum, the verse concerning tayammum, the dry ablution, was revealed because of her necklace. May Allah be pleased with her and her father. Aisha radiallahu anha was declared innocent and free from accusations in verses testifying for her innocence and her purity in a Quran recited until the day of resurrection. Verses revealed from above seven heavens, purity, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised her forgiveness and abundant and honorable provision. She said in this hadith, the hadith of the ifk, the false accusation, her honorable record in the hadith, and we will take Sahih al-Bukhari's narration of it. She said, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا أراد أن يخرج سفر أقرع بين أزواجه. She said, whenever Allah's messenger intended to go on a journey, he would draw lots amongst his wives and would take with him the one upon whom the lot fell. During one of the conquests of his, he drew lots amongst us and the lot fell upon me, and I proceeded with him after Allah had decreed the use of the veil by women, the hijab. I was carried in a hawdaj on the camel and dismounted while still in it. When Allah's messenger had finished his ghazwa, his conquest, and returned home, and we approached the city of Medina, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam ordered us to proceed at night. When the order of setting off was given, I walked till I left the army camp behind to answer the call of nature. After finishing, I returned to the camp to depart with others, and suddenly realized that my necklace over my chest was missing. So I returned to look for it and was delayed because of that.
The people who used to carry me on the camel came to my howdaj and put it on the back of the camel, thinking that I was in it, as that time women were light in weight and thin and lean and did not use to eat much. So those people didn't feel the difference in the heaviness of the howdaj while lifting it, and they put it over the camel. At that time I was a young lady, less than 15 years old. They set the camel moving and proceeded on. I found my necklace after the army had gone and came to their camp to find nobody. So I went to the place where I used to stay, thinking that they would discover my absence and come back in my search. While in that state, I felt sleepy and slept. Safwan bin Mu'attal al-Sulami. Safwan bin Mu'attal al-Sulami al-Dakwani was behind the army and reached my abode in the morning. When he saw a sleeping person, he came to me and he used to see me before veiling, before the hijab. So I got up when I heard him saying, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un," truly to Allah we belong and truly to Him we shall return. He made his camel kneel down. He got down from his camel and put his leg on the front legs of the camel, and then I rode and sat over it. Safwan set out walking, leading the camel by the rope till we reached the army, who had halted to take rest at midday. Then whoever was meant for destruction fell into destruction. Some people accused me falsely, and the leader of the false accusers was Abdullah ibn Ubay bin Salul. After that, we returned to Al-Madinah, and I became ill for 1 month while the people were spreading the forged statements of false accusers. I was feeling during my ailment as if I were not receiving the usual kindness from the Prophet ﷺ, which I used to receive from him when I got sick. But he would come, greet, and say, "How is the girl?" I didn't know anything of what was going on till I recovered from my ailment and went out with Mistah to the Manasa, where we used to answer the call of nature, and we used not to go to answer the call of nature except from night to night, and that was before we had lavatories near to our houses. And this habit of ours was similar to the habit of the old Arabs in the open country or away from houses. So I and Mistah bint Abi Rahm went out walking. Mistah stumbled because of her long dress, and on that she said, "Let Mistah be ruined." I said, "You are saying a bad word. Why are you abusing a man who took part in the battle of Badr?" She said, "Oh, you there, didn't you hear what they said?" Then she told me the rumors of the false accusers. My sickness was aggravated, and when I returned home, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to me, and after a greeting he said, "How is that girl?" I requested him to allow me to go to my parents. I wanted them to be sure of the news through them. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam allowed me, and I went to my parents and asked my mother, "What are the people talking about?" She said, "Oh my daughter, don't worry much about this matter. By Allah, never is there a charming woman loved by her husband who has other wives, but the woman would forge false news about her." I said, glorified be Allah. Are the people really talking of this matter? That night I kept on weeping and could not sleep till morning. And the sub-narrator here added, in the morning, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called Ali bin Abi Talib and Usama bin Zayd. When he saw the divine inspiration delayed, he called them to consult them about divorcing his wife, meaning Aisha. Usama bin Zayd said what he knew of the good reputation of his wives and added, O Allah's Messenger, keep your wife, for by Allah we know nothing about her but good. And Ali ibn Abi Talib said, O Allah's Messenger, Allah has not imposed restrictions on you, and there are many women other than she, yet you may ask the woman servant who will tell you the truth. On that, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called Barira and said, O Barira, did you ever see anything which roused your suspicions about her? Barira said, No, by Allah, who has sent you with the truth. I have never seen in her anything faulty, except that she is a girl of immature age, who sometimes sleeps and leaves the dough for the goats to eat. On that day, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ascended the pulpit and requested that somebody support him in punishing Abdullah bin Ubay bin Salul. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Who will support me to punish that person who has hurt me by slandering the reputation of my family? By Allah, I know nothing about my family but good. And they have accused a person about whom I know nothing except good, and he never entered my house except in my company. Sa'd bin Mu'adh got up and said, O Allah's Messenger, by Allah I will relieve you from him. If that man is from the tribe of the Aus, then we will chop his head off, and if he is from our brothers the Khazraj, then order us and we will fulfill your order. On that, Sa'd bin Ubada, chief of the Khazraj, and before this incident he had been a pious man, got up motivated by his zeal for his tribe and said, by Allah, you have told a lie, you cannot kill him and you will never be able to kill him. On that, Usayd bin al-Hudayr got up and said to Sa'd bin Ubada, by Allah, you are a liar. By Allah, we will kill him, and you are a hypocrite, defending the hypocrites. On this, the two tribes of Aus and Khazraj got excited and were about to fight each other, while Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was standing on the pulpit. He got down and quieted them till they became silent, and he kept quiet. On that day, I kept on weeping so much so that neither did my tears stop, nor could I sleep. In the morning my parents were with me, and I had wept for 2 nights and a day, till I thought my liver would burst from weeping. While they were sitting with me and I was weeping, an Ansari woman asked my permission to enter, and I allowed her to come in. She sat down and started weeping with me. While we were in this state, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came and sat down, and he had never sat with me since the day they forged the accusation. No revelation regarding my case came to him for a month. He recited the Shahada, La ilaha illallah, wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, none has the right to be worshipped but Allah, and Muhammad is Allah's Messenger, and then said, O Aisha, I have been informed such and such about you. If you are innocent, then Allah will soon reveal your innocence. And if you have committed a sin, then repent to Allah and ask Him to forgive you. For when a person confesses his sin and asks Allah for forgiveness, Allah accepts his repentance. When Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam finished his speech, my tears ceased completely, and there remained nothing, not even a single drop of it. I requested my father to reply to Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on my behalf. My father said, by Allah, I don't know what to say to Allah's Messenger. I said to my mother, talk to Allah's Messenger on my behalf. She
She said, by Allah, I don't know what to say to Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I was a young girl and I did not have much knowledge of the Quran. I said, I know by Allah that you have listened to what people are saying, and that has been planted in your minds and you have taken it as a truth. Now if I told you that I am innocent and Allah knows that I am innocent, you would not believe me. And if I confess to you falsely that I am guilty and Allah knows that I am innocent, you would believe me. By Allah, I cannot find for you and I an example except that of Yusuf alayhi salam, Yusuf's father, Yaqub, Jacob alayhi salam, who said, so for me, patience is most fitting. فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ عَلَى مَا تَصِفُونَ. For me, patience is most fitting, and it is Allah alone whose help can be sought against that which you assert. Then I turned to the other side of my bed, hoping that Allah would prove my innocence. By Allah, I never thought that Allah would reveal, listen to this, by Allah, I never thought that Allah would reveal divine inspiration in my case, as I considered myself too inferior to be talked of in the Quran. This is Aisha's humbleness. I had hoped that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam might have a dream in which Allah would prove my innocence. By Allah, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam had not got up and nobody had left the house before the divine inspiration came to Allah's Messenger. So there overtook him the same state which used to overtake him when he used to have on being inspired divinely. He was sweating so much so that the drops of the sweat were dropping like pearls, though it was a cold wintry day. When that state of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam was over, he was smiling. And the first word he said, Aisha, thank Allah, for Allah has declared your innocence. My mother told me to go to Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I replied, by Allah, I will not go to him, and I will not thank but Allah. So Allah revealed the verses, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ جَاءُوا بِالْإِفْكِ عُصْبَةٌ مِّنْكُمْ.
إن الذين جاءوا بالإفك عصبة منكم لا تحسبوه شرا لكم بل هو خير لكم لكل امرئ منهم ما اكتسب من الإثم والذي تولى كبره منهم له عذاب عظيم. لولا إذ سمعتموه ظن المؤمنون والمؤمنات بأنفسهم خيرا وقالوا هذا إفك مبين. لولا جاءوا عليه بأربعة شهداء فإذ لم يأتوا بالشهداء فأولئك عند الله هم الكاذبون. ولولا فضل الله عليكم ورحمته في الدنيا والآخرة لمسكم فيما أفضتم فيه عذاب عظيم. إذ تلقونه بألسنتكم وتقولون بأفواهكم ما ليس لكم به علم وتحسبونه هينا وهو عند الله عظيم. ولولا إذ سمعتموه قلتم ما يكون لنا أن نتكلم تكلم بهذا سبحانك هذا بهتان عظيم. يعظكم الله أن تعودوا لمثله أبدا إن كنتم مؤمنين. ويبين الله لكم الآيات والله عليم حكيم. إن الذين يحبون أن تشيع الفاحشة في الذين آمنوا لهم عذاب أليم في الدنيا والآخرة والله يعلم وأنتم لا تعلمون. ولولا فضل الله عليكم ورحمته وأن الله رؤوف رحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان.
قال الله تعالى what means verily those who brought forth the slander against Aisha radiyallahu anha, the wife of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, are a group among you. Consider it not a bad thing for you, nay it is good for you. Unto every man among them will be paid that which he had earned of the sin, and as for him among them who had the greater share therein, his will be a great torment. Why then did not the believers, men and women, when you heard the slander, think good of their own people and say, this charge is an obvious lie? Why did they not produce four witnesses? Since they, the slanderers, have not produced witnesses, then with Allah they are liars. Had it not been for the grace of Allah and His mercy unto you in this world and in the hereafter, a great torment would have touched you for that whereof you had spoken. When you were propagating it with your tongues and uttering with your mouth that whereof you had no knowledge, you counted it a little thing, while with Allah it was very great. And why did you not, when you heard it, say, it is not right for us to speak of this? Glory be to you, Allah, this is a great lie. Allah forbids you from it and warns you not to repeat the like of it forever if you are believers. And Allah makes the ayat, the signs, plain to you, and Allah is all-knowing, all-wise. Verily those who like that, the crime of illegal sexual intercourse should be propagated among those who believe, they will have a painful torment in this world and the hereafter. And Allah knows and you know not. And had it not been for the grace of Allah and His mercy on you, Allah would have hastened the punishment upon you. And that Allah is full of kindness, most merciful. Here Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, بَلَا وَاللَّهِ إِنِّي لَأُحِبُّ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لِي. By Allah, I like that Allah should forgive me. And resumed helping Mistah, whom he used to help before. Aisha added, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also asked Zaynab bin Jahsh, the Prophet's wife, about me, saying, what do you know and what did you see? She replied, O Allah's Messenger, I refrain to claim hearing or seeing what I have not heard or seen. By Allah, I know nothing except goodness about Aisha. Aisha further added, Zaynab was competing with me in her beauty and the Prophet's love, yet Allah protected her from being malicious, for she had piety. So a Quran was revealed, these verses from Surah An-Nur chapter 24, declaring the innocence and purity of Aisha. And from this, the punishment on those slander, false accusations of sexual fornication, became legalized in Islam due to the story of Aisha. And this is the saying of Sa'id bin Jubayr rahimahullah, as in Tafsir al-Qurtubi.
Aisha. Most beloved of the wives of the Prophet alayhi salatu wassalam, Amr ibn al-As said, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, who are amongst the people most beloved to you? He said, Aisha. And I said, Min al-Rijal, and from men. He said, Abuha, her father. Then I said, who next? He said, Umar ibn al-Khattab. And then he named other men. And this hadith is in Sahih al-Bukhari. The hub, the love of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to Aisha is manifested in this narration clearly. In Sahih al-Bukhari, volume 3, hadith 755, Aisha narrated, the wives of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam were in two groups. Urwa added, one group consisted of Aisha, Hafsa, Safiya, and Sauda, and the other group consisted of Salama and the other wives of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Muslims knew that Allah's Messenger loved Aisha, so if any of them had a gift and wished to give to Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would delay it till Allah's Messenger had come to Aisha's home, and then he would send his gift to Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in her home. Now the group of Salama discussed the matter together and decided that Salama should request Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam to tell the people to send their gifts to him in whatever wife's house he was. Salama told Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam of what they had said, but he did not reply. Then they, those wives, asked Salama about it. She said, he did not say anything to me. They asked her to talk to him again. She talked to him again when she met him on her day, but he gave no reply. When they asked her, she replied that he had given no reply. They said to her, talk to him till he gives you a reply. When it was her turn, she talked to him again. He then said to her, don't hurt me regarding Aisha. لا تؤذيني في عائشة فإن الوحي لم يأتني وأنا في ثوب امرأة إلا عائشة. Don't hurt me regarding Aisha, as the divine inspirations don't come to me on any of the beds except that of Aisha. On that, Salama said, I repent to Allah for hurting you. Then the group of Salama called Fatima, the daughter of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and sent her to Allah's Messenger to say to him, your wives request to treat them and the daughter of Abu Bakr, meaning Aisha, on equal terms. Then Fatima conveyed the message to him. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to her, Ya Bunayya, ألا تحبين ما أحب? O my daughter, don't you love whom I love? قالت بلى. She replied in the affirmative and returned and told them of the situation. They requested her to go to him again, but she refused. They then sent Zainab bin Jahsh, who went to him and used harsh words, saying, your wives request you to treat them and the daughter of Ibn Abu Quhafa, meaning Abu Bakr, on equal terms. On that, she raised her voice and turned to Aisha, who was sitting, and insulted her so much so that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam looked at Aisha to see whether she would retort. Aisha started replying to Zainab till she silenced her. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then looked at Aisha and said, إنها بنت أبي بكر. She is really the daughter of Abu Bakr. And in the narration in Sahih Muslim, he told Fatima in this incident, أَلَسْتِ تُحِبِّينَ مَا أُحِبُّ. Don't you love whom I love? She said, بَلَى. She said in the affirmative, replied. He, عليه الصلاة والسلام, said, فَأَحِبِّي هَذِهِ. Then love this one, meaning Aisha. And this is a command necessitating obligation. And therefore this necessitates the same thing from us, loving Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. Anyone who accuses Aisha of the slander in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala declared her innocent, then commits kufr, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated her innocence and purity in the Quran. Ibn Kathir rahimahullah said in Al-Bidayah wa Al-Nihayah in volume 11 page 337, وَقَدْ أَجْمَعَ الْعُلَمَاءُ عَلَى تَكْفِيرِ مَنْ قَذَفَهَا بَعْدَ بَرَاءَتِهَا. And the ulama are in unanimous agreement that anyone who slanders her after her innocence was declared then becomes a kafir, and that in accordance with the correct opinion, and this is the opinion chosen also by Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah and by Ibn Kathir, that anyone who slanders the rest of the wives of the Prophet ﷺ, the mothers of the believers, is that he also becomes a kafir. And anyone who denies that her father Abu Bakr as-Siddiq was a companion of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, then also commits kufr. And this is a matter which Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah asserted, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the Noble Quran, إِذْ يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ لَا تَحْزَنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا. That Abu Bakr, or that the Prophet ﷺ says to his sahib, to his companion, he called him his companion, don't grieve, for Allah is with us. This is on their journey away from Mecca when the mushriks were after them. And Aisha, Sauda, the wife of the Prophet ﷺ, declined her night for Aisha, offered her night to Aisha, knowing her status with the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام. And this is in Sahih al-Bukhari in volume 3 hadith 766. Aisha said, whenever Allah's messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم wanted to go on a journey, he drew lots as to which of his wives would accompany him. He would take her whose name came out. He used to fix for each of them a day and a night. And the sub-narrator added, Sauda bin Zam'a gave up her turn day and night to Aisha, the wife of the Prophet ﷺ, in order to seek the pleasure of Allah's Messenger ﷺ by that action, knowing the rank of Aisha with him. The Prophet ﷺ chose Aisha's apartment in his days of sickness, and he died therein, and he was buried in her apartment. Aisha narrated in Sahih Bukhari, volume 5, hadith number 730. إِنَّ مِن نِعَمِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ. It was one of the favors of Allah bestowed upon me that Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم توفي في بيتي, expired in my house, وفي يومي, on the day of my turn, while he was leaning against my chest, and Allah made my saliva mix with his saliva at his death. Abu Abdurrahman entered upon me with a siwak, or Abdurrahman entered upon me with a siwak in his hand, and I was supporting the back of Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam against my chest. I saw the Prophet alayhi salatu wasallam looking at it, at the siwak, and I knew that he loved the siwak. So I said to him, "Shall I take it for you?" أخذه لك فأشار برأسه. He nodded in agreement. فتناولته. So I took it and it was too stiff for me to use. So I said, "Shall I soften it for you?" ألينه لك فأشار برأسه النعم. "Shall I soften it for you?" He nodded his approval. So I softened it, and he cleaned his teeth with it. In front of him there was a jug or a tin, and the sub-narrator, Umar, is in doubt as to which was right, containing water in that jug or tin. He started dipping his hand in the water and rubbing his face with it. He said, "لا إله إلا الله. إن للموت سكرات." None has the right to be worshipped but Allah. Death has its agonies. He then lifted his hands towards the sky and started saying, "في الرفيق الأعلى حتى قبض ومالت يده." And he started saying, "With the highest companion," till he expired and his hand dropped down, عليه الصلاة والسلام. She was the most knowledgeable amongst the women. Az-Zuhri rahimahullah said, if the knowledge of all women were to be gathered, and the knowledge of Aisha would to be gathered, then the knowledge of Aisha would excel them. The great companions on many occasions, whenever they had a problem regarding a certain matter in deen, they consulted with Aisha and they found knowledge with her on it. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, did not marry any woman whose parents, both parents, were immigrants except Aisha. Aisha's father and grandfather and her brother were companions. May Allah be pleased with them all. Her father was most beloved of men to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and most dear to him. Her father is the best of men, of people, after the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this is in agreement with all Muslims except the deviant from the rejectionists. Sometimes she used to get angry, and the Prophet ﷺ would comfort her. And this occurred to none except to her, as reported in Al-Bukhari and Muslim. No woman reported narrations from the Prophet ﷺ more than Aisha. May Allah be pleased with her and her father. Umar described her as Habibatu Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the beloved to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Once she raced with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, as in Sunan Abi Dawood.
and it's an authentic narration. Sunan Abi Dawood, volume 2, hadith 2572. Aisha said while she was on a journey along with the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she said, I had a race with him, with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and I outstripped him on my feet. When I became fleshy again, I had a race with him, with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and he outstripped me. He said, this is for that outstripping. هذه بتلك. This is for that outstripping. She is one of the 7 most known for their fatwa. As Al-Hafidh bin Hajar mentioned them to be Umar, Ali, Ibn Mas'ud, Ibn Umar, Ibn Abbas, Zayd bin Thabit, and Aisha. May Allah be pleased with all of them. قال الله تعالى in the Quran, and we ask him to make us from those whom this verse speaks about. In Surah Al-Hashr, chapter 59, verse 10.
وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِن بَعْدِهِمْ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِنْ بعدهم يقولون ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم والذين جاءوا من بعدهم يقولون ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم.
And those who came after them say, ربنا, our Lord forgive us and our brethren who have preceded us in faith, and put not in our hearts any hatred against those who have believed. Rabbana, our Lord, you are indeed full of kindness, most merciful. May Allah's mercy, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with all of the companions, and may Allah the Most High make us from those who follow their footsteps. Innahu huwa ra'ufur rahim, innahu huwa sami'ul mujib. وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.